It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary, hosted by me, Spencer. This is episode F-169. We have to get into the words, but I have to say, my hair. This is the longest it's been in a long time, and I am getting a haircut this afternoon. So the next time you see me, this is going to be a whole lot better. Whatever this situation is here up above my neck, it's going to look good. So the hair is a little crazy today. Let's make it even crazier. All right, the first word is forum, F-O-R-A-M. This is a noun from 1927, and the synonym is a word I think we're going to have later this episode, which is foraminifer. I think that is what it is, foraminifer. Yes, so forum is foraminifer, shortened version, I guess, and we'll talk about that soon. And now I need to make a sound effect, which will be... Next is foramen. Foramen. Everybody loves foramen. This is F-O-R-A-M-E-N. It looks like faux ramen. I'm going to eat my faux ramen noodles very quickly. Noun from 1671. So let's repeat the word because I probably confused you just like I confused myself. The word is foramen. It is a small opening, perforation, or orifice. The synonym is the word fenestra, which we know is a window. It's a hole. So it's just any small opening, perforation, or orifice is a foramen? Foraminal or foraminous, that is an adjective. Both of those are adjectives. So where does this word come from? Let's see. What do we got? What do we got? We got the Latin word foramen. How would they have pronounced it? Foramen? I don't remember. Which is from the verb forare, which means to bore, B-O-R-E, like boring a hole through a floor, a wall, my head, like in the movie Pie. There's more with the word bore. So the word means the action of making a hole, and so the word is a hole. That's what it is. It's anything. So I guess just literally any little hole like that can be a foramen. And why don't we use this word anymore? Why is it still in the dictionary? We've gotten rid of a lot of old words, but this one, we got to keep it around. It's a good one. Okay, now I think we're going to have some related words. Now we're going to go... Sounds like a cartoon character running by. Now we have foramen magnum. Two words. Noun from 1857. This is the opening in the skull through which the spinal cord passes to become the medulla oblongata. So this is at the base of the skull where the spine comes in. There's a hole in the skull. There's a hole in the skull. There's a hole in the skull. It's called the foramen magnum. So the spinal cord goes in there, and then the spinal cord becomes the medulla oblongata, I guess, and it's in the hole called the foramen magnum. Okay, great. Now, why the word magnum? Well, this whole two-word phrase is New Latin. It literally means large opening. It's maybe the biggest opening in the human skull. What about the eye sockets? Is it bigger than the eye sockets? Probably. Those have a whole other name. They're like the optical something, but maybe they have also a foramen or foramen name. Now, that is a long A, right? Foramen. I think that's what it is. Good. Now you can tell your friends that you have in your body a foramen magnum. It's a where is the foramen magnum? Can you guess where the foramen magnum is? And then they'll point to their elbow. Next is foramen ovale, or how do you, ovale, various ways. That word is O-V-A-L-E, foramen ovale. This is a noun from circa 1860. Looks like this is when they were naming parts of the body. This is an opening in the septum between the two atria of the heart that is normally present only in the fetus. There is an opening in the wall of the heart, the inside wall of the heart between the two atria. There's the one atria, the left atria and the right atria, and then there's a wall in between them, and for some reason there's a hole in the heart of the fetus, but I guess that hole closes up, but maybe it doesn't in some people. That's why some people have a hole in the heart, probably because it never sealed up. What is the purpose of the hole in the first place? Is it just that things are gradually growing and changing in the fetus form, and it just, you know, at some point there's a hole, but then it just seals up? Or is there a purpose for the hole? I don't know. Babies, call me up. Tell me what's going on with the foramen ovale. This is another new Latin phrase, of course, and it literally means oval opening. Ovale is oval. That looks pretty obvious. So I guess it's the shape of an oval. Okay. Now let's move on to... We have foraminifer, and this is the word that was the synonym for forum. And so this is foraminifer, or foraminifer, noun from circa 1842. This is a long definition, and we have a picture. Any of an order, foraminifera, of large, chiefly marine, rhizopod protozoans, usually having calcareous shells that often are perforated with minute holes for protrusion of slender pseudopodia and form the bulk of chalk and pneumolytic limestone. And I don't know if you saw it, but I saw a little piece of spittle fly onto my hand as I was saying that long phrase with crazy words. Hope you didn't see it, but I called it out anyway. Okay, so that was a lot of stuff. We got some pictures. We have pictures of four foraminifera. Where's the emphasis? Foraminifer. There we go. Four foraminifer shells. When you're trying to say there's four of them, it's extra confusing. So these are shells, and they have all these little dots on them, which are the tiny little holes. Maybe those holes are the foramen, which we know is a tiny little hole. And minute holes. What is the point of the minute holes? Well, it's for these slender pseudopodia to protrude out of it. And then they form the bulk of the chalk. Oh, these creatures, these shells, they create the bulk of chalk and pneumolytic limestone. So when they're dead, they get all compressed with all the other stuff. And then that's why we have chalk. Chalk is literally made from these living things. Limestone, too. Foraminiferal, that is an adjective. So let's see if there's etymology. There's not. Because we already figured out, we know where it comes from. What are some of these fun words? Rhizopod protozoans. How big are they? How big is this rhizopod protozoan? I guess I should describe these shells. The one in the top left is sort of like a spirally kind of thing. There's like one big chunk, then there's another smaller one, and they just sort of spiral in. And then the one to the right of that, in the top right, is long and slender, and it has sort of bulbousy sections. They get smaller and smaller and smaller. I'm going to be real blunt about this. It looks like a dildo. Then the one in the bottom left looks kind of like a round vase, like a ball, like a sphere, but then it kind of comes to a point at the top. And that one's got a bunch of holes, just like the rest of them. And then the one in the bottom right looks like the blob. I don't know, it's got one sort of circular blob and another one and another one, and they do get smaller, but it doesn't look like there's as much of a form to this one as there is for the other ones. And so now let's just look up a real quick picture of foraminifer. Minifer, Finnish spelling the word. Here we go. Oh, yeah. These look very small. Yes, there's even some microscopic images of them, but there are, like, is sand? Sand, I think, is mostly rock, but I don't know. I could imagine some of these being in sand as well. So are there tiny little creatures living in them? Are they the creature itself? Chiefly rhizopod protozoans, I guess. Yeah, the shell. So it's a creature with a shell, but there's things that come out of the holes? I don't know. You should go learn more about them if you find these interesting. Fascinating stuff. The natural world. All right, now let's go on to... We have a very similar word. So that was foraminifer. This is foraminifera. All we did was add an A to the end, and it completely changed the emphasis of how to say this word. Foraminifera. English. Oh, you English. Noun from circa 1836. This is organisms that are foraminifers. It's the all of them all together, big old plural ball of blobs. The foraminifera. All right. It does have a little etymology here again, but it's nothing fancy. I think we pretty much know where this comes from. I believe. Have all of our words come from the 1800s? Nope. This one, foramen, was the 1600s, and the forum was 1900s, but the most of them so far have been the 1800s. Okay, now let's go on to... We have now foraminiferin. There we go. Foraminiferin. Noun from 1920. This synonym is foraminifer, which is just those creatures in the shells. Now we have for and. Two words. For and. This is a conjunction from circa 1529. It is obsolete, and it means and also. So I guess if you, back in the 1500s, if you wanted to say, and also these things too, you would say, for and these things too. Because why not? If you want to learn more about the word for, go listen to the previous episode. All right, gave you all the definitions of for. Now we have for as much as. This is interesting. It's two words. The first word is for as much. That's one word. I did not know we could make that one word. For as much as. For as much as. Now, the pronunciation makes it seem like it's more like for as much as, but I would say as, for as much as. A conjunction from the 13th century. It means in view of the fact that. In view of the fact that. Well, now they probably say this in the legal world. Well, now that we can look at the fact that this is the thing, then for as much as we can also say these things. I don't know how to use that in a sentence. For as much as. It's just fun to say. Next is foray or foray or also foray or foray. You can emphasize either syllable, I guess. F-O-R-A-Y. First form, verb from the 14th century. We are starting with transitive, which is archaic. There's only one. It means to ravage in search of spoils. The synonym is pillage. Yes, I think of pillage and ravage going hand in hand. So spoils is a funny word because when things spoil, that means they're bad and you don't want to eat them. But you can also be pillaging and ravaging for spoils. Ooh, we got our spoils. We got all their money and all their foods and stuff. So why do we call that spoils? We have to wait a long time to learn about that one. Foray. Back in the olden times, we say, we're going to go foraying for spoils. All right, be back before dinner. Okay, now the intransitive is, it is not archaic, to make a raid or brief invasion, as in, forayed into enemy territory. You better be careful when you're playing capture the flag. You're foraying into enemy territory. They might get you, and they might put you in the jail. To make a raid, okay, so then the transitive was to ravage. You are ravaging things in search of spoils. Where are my spoils? I need to get my spoils. All right, where does this word come from? We do have a second form, so that might have some different definitions. But this one is from, let's see, oh, it looks like Anglo-French for fourrier, which means forager or raider. Also from fur, which means provender. And there's more at the word forage. So yeah, that's where this idea came from, of just going out hunting, looking for something. Maybe some spoils. Maybe some mushrooms. Maybe some catamarans. All right, that was that one. Did I say forayer? Forayer, that is a noun. Next is the second form of foray. And I guess I just realized form. The word form is coming up soon, so we'll get there. But the second form of foray is a noun from the 14th century. Number one, a sudden or irregular invasion or attack for war or spoils. And the synonym is raid. Now, I don't know why this one is not archaic, and the other one was archaic. To ravage in search of spoils, to pillage, is archaic. But it still holds on. We got to go on a foray to do some foraying when we are searching for attacking people or searching for spoils. Number two, a brief excursion or attempt, especially outside one's accustomed sphere, as in the novelist's foray into nonfiction. Oh, this is a foray that I much prefer. I don't like it when people are fighting in wars or pillaging, ravaging communities just for their spoils. Going outside of your accustomed sphere, that's an interesting foray. I think more people need to be doing this kind of foray. You need to get out. You need to see what else is out there. You need to challenge yourself. You need to get out of your habit. Habits are good. Keep the habits, but like, you know, try and learn some new things. Make those new neural pathways. Foray out into something new. I would like to foray into many new things. I want to learn all the things. A brief excursion or attempt. I'm just going to try it. Let's see what it's like. I'm going to try and write nonfiction, but I normally write regular fiction. All right, that's enough for foray. Now we have forb, F-O-R-B, noun from 1924. This is an herb other than grass. It's a forb. Is there etymology? Yes. This is from the Greek forbi. I'm going to say it's forbi. I don't know. Which means fodder or food. From ferbin, which means to graze. And of course, what are animals usually grazing on? It's grass and maybe herbs. But this is an herb that's not grass. It's a forb. Have you ever heard this word? You grass people probably know it. By the way, the Greek word is P-H-O-R-B-E, but of course they spell it in their Greek letters. All right, next is, it's the word forbear, F-O-R-B-E-A-R, first form. Let's see, we've got also forbore, forborn, forbearing. There's a couple of past terms and also a present term. And so this is a verb from before the 12th century, starting with transitive. Number one is obsolete, and it means to do without. I could do without that. I could do without your nasty remarks. I could forbear with your nasty remarks. Number two, to hold oneself back from, especially with an effort, as in forbore mentioning the incident. So that happened in the past, so we got forbore, and they were doing this about themselves. They forbore themselves from talking about the incident. Oh, wow, what was the incident? The incident. We shall not discuss the incident. Never ever again shall we discuss the incident. I'm holding myself back from discussing it. Number three is obsolete. To leave alone, and the synonym is shun, as in forbear his presence. And that is a quote from Shakespeare. Forbear his presence. Leave his presence alone. Shun him. He's here, but we're not going to acknowledge him. We're going to ignore that. He don't look at him. Don't talk to him. He's sitting in the court. We don't know. Just stop. Just forbear. All right, now we got intransitive. Number one, the synonyms are hold back and abstain, as in have forborne from taking part in any controversy. That is a quote from Abraham Lincoln. Have forborne from taking part in any controversy. We have held back from getting into any controversies. I would like to hear a modern reading of what Lincoln had to say, especially his famous speeches. Have forborne from taking part in any controversy. Hold me back. I want to get in that controversy, but hold me back. Forbear me. Number two, to control oneself when provoked, and also be patient. It takes a lot of control for you to maybe chill out a little bit when somebody's provoking you. Maybe they're literally poking you, and you're like, oh, but I want to poke him back so much. I want to poke my finger right in his shoulder, but I will forbear myself. Be patient, be patient. Forbearer, that is a noun. This word is from Old English, forbearen, which means to endure or do without. It is from for plus baron, which means to bear. It's like you have a thing. You're enduring it. You're dealing with it. Now, if we look at the prefix for from the previous episode, let's see, what were some of these? So as in to involve prohibition, exclusion. You're excluding what you are holding. You're maybe not neglecting, refusal, destructive or detrimental, completely. Ooh, maybe completely. That's what it is. You're completely holding on to a thing. You're holding yourself back. I think that's sort of where the for prefix comes in. You're bearing yourself completely. Hold me back. All right, I think that works. Forbear. So that's the action of forbearing, you can use that in a sentence. The second form of forbear is a variation of forbear, which is spelled F-O-R-E-B-E-A-R, which will be in a few episodes. We now are on our last word, which is forbearance. And I think recently, just like a few days ago, I think it must have been on a podcast, I heard somebody say the word forbear or forbearance, and I was like, I guess that's a word that I'm going to come up to pretty soon in the dictionary. I haven't gotten there yet, but I know I'm in the F-O-R section, or give or take, so forbear will be coming up, and now here it is. So, forbearance, forbearance, is a noun from 1576. Number one, a refraining from the enforcement of something and, oh, something that is due. And examples of that something could be debt, a right, R-I-G-H-T, or an obligation. So if you owe somebody something, money, a date, I don't know why you shouldn't owe somebody a date, I'm gonna mow your lawn for you. If I owe that to you, but I don't do it, that is forbearance. I am holding back from doing that thing that I owe you. Clearly, we learned that the word forbear is all about holding back. Okay, so number two is the act of forbearing, and the synonym is patience. Ooh, I want those marshmallows so bad, but no, if I wait longer, I shall get two marshmallows. I will do some forbearance. I will have forbearance to get two marshmallows. Maybe if I wait longer, they'll give me three. Number three, the quality of being forbearing, and the synonym is leniency. Okay, fine, I'll let you do what you want to do. Being forbearing is the quality of being forbearing. I don't know what that means. So, let's see. I think then we don't have any more forbear words, and that was the last word in this episode, so we're going to get into some other words in the next episode, and there's going to be some fun stuff. So, I must pick a word of the episode. We had forum, foramen, foramen magnum, foramen ovale, foraminifer, foraminifera, foraminiferin, for and, for as much as, foray, foray, forb, forbear, and forbearance. Ooh, let's see. I think I shall pick foramen magnum as the word of the episode. I think I already sang a little song or something, didn't I? But let's do another one. I was thinking of putting things together. You got a Lego guy. You got a Lego head. You put the Lego head on the... there's something about... You put the thing on the Lego head, and that's the bottom of the Lego head is the foramen magnum. That's... The only hole in a Lego head is a foramen magnum. Boop, boop. You got to see the chains, the gears... turning. Anyway, that was fun stuff. Take care of your foramen magnum. The next movie that we watched was Lost Highway. We convinced, I don't know how hard it was to convince, we convinced my sister and her partner to go see it with us because they had never seen it before. And it is a doozy of a David Lynch movie. Kind of opposite when compared to Mulholland Drive in certain ways. So, you know, that's a good double feature. It's going to make you think a lot. This was a movie that I've told people. It's taken me multiple viewings to really remember everything. Maybe the first time I only watched half of it, and then maybe the second time I watched the whole thing. But then when I watched it the third time, I didn't remember, like, any of the second half. I was like, this is all new to me. And then I think the fourth time was like, okay, so this was like my fourth or fifth watch. And so I was like, I remember, but then it was like, wait, there's all this more stuff and I didn't remember any of that. So now I think I got it fairly well in my head. So maybe the next time I watch it, I'll be able to think of all of those things because you need to know the whole thing to figure out what the whole thing is. But also, you don't got to figure it out. It's David Lynch. You could just enjoy the ride. That's fun too. All right. Lost Highway. That's it. Why are you still staring at me? This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.